Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Mem Beis. This morning we start the third parak of the Masechta. So everyone get comfortable. The third parak of the Masechta is one of the longer parakim we have throughout Shas. It covers the treifas of an animal. What renders an animal treifa? It will be from here until all the way to Samach Zayin. So from Mem Beis to Samach Zayin, 42 to 67. Okay, that's good. So we're going to be here in this parak for a considerable amount of time, and in such what we're going to be doing is we're going to be learning about all the various defects of an animal that will render an animal treifa. Here's what we all know already: an animal could be one of two things if not receiving a proper shechita. It could be nevela, it could be a treifa. Now, if an animal dies without a proper shechita, it's a nevela. Period. The animal without having the benefit of a shechita and having died. So the animal now, as an avela, is one of two things. One, it's aser ba'achila, and two, it's an avatumah. Not allowed to eat an avela, you're not allowed to eat an avela, and if one were to come into contact with an avela, one would become tumah. It's an avatumah. The transmission of tumah is both the magu v'masa by touching it or by carrying it. If, however, let's say the animal received a proper shechita, so under most circumstances, you eat it. However, if one of the internal organs are defected in manners in which we're going to be describing over the course of this parak, so the animal is no longer mutter to eat, but rather it is a treifa. Now, if it received a proper shechita, so then it's not going to be an avela, meaning you stopped it from being an avela, but nevertheless, the animal is going to be a treifa. And as such, it's just aser ba'achila. It's mutter ba'hana, you're allowed to get benefit from a treifa, but it's aser ba'achila. There's no tumah. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that you gave it a proper shechita, so it's not going to be an avatama. But nevertheless, it's also ba'achila. Good. We have taken the word treif, and we have broadened its general definition. Meaning, in our modern day parlance, and not even so modern day, I already showed you examples of it in the Gemara, where sometimes the word treif is just used very loosely to describe something that's not kosher. But technically speaking, when I say technically, I mean from the Torah and from the Gemara, a treifa is any animal that has any one of these defects. I'm going to go back to a Rashi back on Daf Yud Beis, which is a very, very important Rashi and very basic, and addresses the following. What do we assume with every animal? Do we assume that there are defects in the animal? So Rashi back on Yud Beis, Amin Aleph, said, no, we don't assume such a thing. Rashi says that our general assumption by an animal is that an animal is becheskas chaya. We assume that the animal is alive and vital and healthy. And we don't assume that any limb of the animal is a treifa. Meaning what we're going to be learning about is what if there are, in fact, defects in the animal in which we're going to outline. But in terms of our general assumption, our general disposition, we assume that the animal is perfectly healthy. So I'm going all the way back to the Rashi on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi writes over there, Elavadi Alach L'Moshemisina Bad Desemchina Ruba, sorry. Rashi writes that we don't do an examination on the 18 treifos. Mishum by there is one exception which we all know, and that is the lung. So the lung is going to undergo an examination every time you shech an animal. And Rashi says, and I'll tell you a little bit of a secret, which is Rashi says, I wouldn't go public with this secret. So in other words, so we're going to keep it in-house, okay? So Rashi says, even if I lost the lung, and I didn't have an opportunity to check the lung, I'd still eat the animal still kshera, because again, there's a chazaka that an animal is not a treifa. Okay, but with all that stated, however, if an animal, in fact, suffers any one of these defects, so the animal is a treifa, and it's aser ba'achil, aser min ha'torah to eat. Okay. What do we have as the Masorah? So we have the number 18. So the Torah never mentions it. The Torah just simply says, we're going to see the Pesukim a little bit later on this morning. Ubas batzad treif lo sochelu. Torah says, you're not allowed to eat treif. That's it. We're not given any more from the Torah Shebichsav. What do we know from the Torah Shebapeh? So we know from the Torah Shebapeh the number 18. So there are Yudches treifas. There are 18 different treifas. Now, in terms of how to count the number 18, how to get to the number 18, so that's going to be a little bit tricky. Here we're going to go and become accountants once again today in terms of how do we arrive at the number 18. It's a balance. In other words, we have a certain Masorah. We have a couple of other Masorahs as well. We're going to try to fit the Masorahs one into the other. And so to get to the number 18 is going to be a little bit tricky. That's going to be a big part of today's daf coming up ahead. Okay, and now the anatomy. And as far as the anatomy is concerned, so yes, we are going to need to know some basics regarding bovine anatomy. We are going to really get familiar, and we're going to get to know our cows. Okay, it really was something special to be exposed to a dissection a couple weeks ago. There was a presentation here at the shul. Rabbi Ben David, who is the author of Sichas Chulin, it's not the popular sefer that's going around these days. The popular one is Tmunei Chol. In fact, I have a copy today. I borrowed Phil's. Tmunei Chol is really an excellent. His name is Rabbi Lack, Rabbi Yaakov David Lack. He has a really, really good picture book. It has both schematics and actual pictures themselves. It's really good, and it does a wonderful job taking you through the animal. And at the end, also, he's got a lot of good notes at the end in terms of the functions of the various organs and a little bit of the science behind it as well. So it's a good sefer. But whatever sefer you use, and whatever will help you in terms of getting to know the animal better, we're going to get to know the animal better. It's just going to be a function of just knowing this perek, is that you have to know the anatomy of the animal. I'm not going to do much more in terms of an introduction, but I'm just going to, just for a couple of minutes, I'm going to just walk us through an animal in terms of the general structure of a ruminating animal, and what's notable about a ruminating animal. The kosher animals out there are the ones that ruminate. Ruminate means that they ponder and think. No, that's not true. They're not much of thinking creatures. But ruminate. Sorry, I got so entertained by my own joke. That was fantastic. I don't know. I tell you, it's a long day, but it's, you know, we just started. But ruminating means that what it does is that it chews on its cud. We know that an animal, both especially a bovine animal, spends a lot of time eating grass. Grass is, of course, not that digestible. So what the animal does is the animal makes it digestible. It just simply plucks the grass out of the ground, sends it into its stomach, into its first stomach. The ruminating animal is going to have four stomachs. It's going to send it into the first stomach. It's going to sit there in the first stomach and just sit in some of the gastric juices of that first stomach and soften. And then what's going to happen is that it will then be deposited into the second stomach, which we're going to also discuss in detail over the course of this perek. And then it's going to shoot it back up to the mouth where the animal is going to chew it on it again. And then it's going to go in this cycle of mouth to stomach, stomach to mouth, mouth to stomach to mouth. By the way, if you look at the teeth of any ruminating animal, it's very interesting. So what you're going to find by ruminating animal is that the front teeth, it doesn't have top and bottom incisors. It only has the bottom incisors because the whole purpose of the front of the mouth of the animal is just simply to pull the grass from the ground. So, try this at home. You probably don't have a cow at home. Neither do I. But I had the good fortune of going on to the Berman farm numerous times here in Florida. And so you put your fingers into the mouth of an animal, and you'll find that only teeth on the bottom, no teeth on the top. You take a look at any skeletal structure of a ruminating animal, and you're going to find that. And then, so they only have teeth on the front, on the bottom. And then if you go to the back of their mouth, they're going to have molars in the back of their mouth with a nice long separation of no teeth between the front, bottom incisors and the back of the molars. The whole purpose of the teeth for a ruminating animal is just A, to pluck the grass out of the ground, and B, to chew its cud. After the cud has been chewed and softened to the point now where it's digestible, so then it's going to go back into the stomach, so it's then going to go into the third stomach, into the fourth stomach. Fourth stomach is what's called the cave. The first stomach, by the way, is called the keras. You're going to hear that term today in the... I know I'm going quickly. I know I am. Right? Thankfully for me, this is not the first time. It's good chazara, but I know. You could, you know, pause... hit rewind, hit play again. Anyway, the first stomach is a larger stomach. That's called the keres. Then it goes to the second, third stomachs. We're actually going to make reference to them in the Mishnah coming up in just a moment. Then it goes into the fourth stomach. The fourth stomach is, quote-unquote, the real stomach. Right? They're all real. But the fourth stomach is where the digestion actually occurs. That's what's called the cava. Cava is a really exciting stomach in that that's where the real digestion is happening. And also the cava, there's a lot of good things in the cava, a lot of wonderful enzymes in the cava. Cava is used to make cheese. We will discuss later in the Masechta how can I make cheese using the enzymes that are coming from the stomach of an animal. That means that that's meat. Well, that's going to be discussed later on. And then after going through the cava, then it goes and makes its long way through a whole system of intestines through the animal. So, but anyway, when it comes to a ruminating animal, so you're basically looking at four stomachs. And so what we have to look at when we're talking about the trephas is the various perforations and severances of the various stomachs of the animal. And then on top of that, so then the rest of the animal basically follows anatomically like a human being, and we're going to be discussing all this in greater detail. The other notable differences between an animal and a human anatomically is going to be the legs. With a person, our back legs, meaning our legs. So they have one knee and basically two bones going in, you know, one up and one below. So when it comes to an animal, they have two knees. And so basically their leg is divided into three parts, not to two parts. Another notable difference is between their anatomy and our anatomy. Okay, that's, and we just scratched the surface. And truth of the matter is that over the course of our perek, so we're going to go step by step, and we're going to go over after each one of the various trephas. Everything is going to be discussed in great detail. So there's no need to get through everything right now. Now it's just simply an overview. As we go through the perek, we're going to be exploring each part in its time, in its due time. Eilu trephas bebehema. These are the trephas of an animal. The now there's an interesting tosfos on the top of the amud in terms of girsas of our perek. So the girsa that we have is Eilu Trephas. Tosfos notes that there is another girsa of the perek is Ve'Eilu Trephas, and these are the Trephas. Now, with a Vav, that means that this perek is connected to the previous perek. So how is it connected to the previous perek? Well, if you remember, in the previous perek, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Shevav and Rabbi Akiva. Really interesting machlokas. What happens by Nekuva Saveshet? If the esophagus has a perforation, a hole, the smallest hole in it, so we learned earlier in the Masechta, is that animal a trefa or is it a nevela? Machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Shevav and Rabbi Kiva. However, if you also remember, Rabbi Kiva ended up coming around and agreeing to Rabbi Shevav that an animal with a perforation, the esophagus, is in fact going to be a nevela. So the Vav over here is connecting our sugya to the previous sugya with the words vi'elu trefas. Right? Interesting note, which the Gemara already pointed out in the previous parak, in the second parak, and that is that even though the first two of the trefas are going to be Nekuvas Aveshet, Psukas Argargaris, a hole in the esophagus and a opening, a severance of the trachea. So these are the first two of the trephos. So you remember earlier in the previous paragraph we said that the truth of the matter is that the animal's not a trepha, the animal's a nevela. In fact, because the Veshet has a nekev, has a hole, and because the Gargaris has is severed, is more than half open. So at that point in time, we physically cannot shecht the animal. The animal is unshechtable, an unshechtable animal. Then that's going to die without the benefit of a shechita is going to be a nevela, not a trefa. So it's interesting that our Mishnah over here introduces them as the first two of the trefas, and meanwhile, in the previous paragraph, we described them as being a nevela. And I mean, this is where things get a little bit tricky. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive, one of the other. But okay, that's a more subtle point. Anyway, Eilu Trephas Bebehema, these are the Trephas of a Behema. Now, I would say let's count, because they're going to be 18, but as I mentioned above, and you're going to see this by the end of today's daf, counting is going to be a little bit misleading, because you're going to see that the Gemara later on is going to count it slightly differently than the way it's presented in the Mishnah. So, rather than counting them, just simply say them out. You'll see what I mean by the end of today's daf. Number one, Nekuvas Aveshet, if there is a perforation of the esophagus. Number two, Psukas HaGargaris, if the majority of the Gargaris is split open. We will be learning later in this perek, and when we're talking about the opening of the Gargaris, obviously we're talking about its circumference, and the majority of its circumference opened up, and we're going to be discussing later in this perek whether we're talking about the inner circumference or the outer circumference of the windpipe. Stay tuned. Nikev Krum Shel Moach, if the membrane of the brain is opened up. There are two membranes that are separating the skull and the brain of the animal. So if you remember from the presentation last week, so he scooped the brain right out. He cut the skull lengthwise, he scooped the brain right out. It was that of a goat, and the brain of a goat is particularly small, and I assume the same thing is true regarding a cow as well. But anyway, so there is two membranes separating them, and later in this parak we're going to be talking about which membrane we're talking about in terms of its perforation. Anikev halev lebeis chalalo. If the heart is perforated into the chambers, nishpura hashedra, v'nifsak hachut shala. If, let's say, the spinal column is broken and the spinal cord is snapped. So over here, it sounds like we're describing one trepha, one category of trepha, and it sounds like it is a breaking of the spinal cord with the spinal column being snapped. Not clear in the Mishnah, we'll talk more about this in the Gemara, whether we need necessarily both components. the breaking of the column and the cord. We'll talk more about that in the later in the parak. Nital ha-kaved v'lo nishar menu klum. If the liver is removed and nothing is remaining of the liver. So that means that the Gemara's assumption is, we're going to be talking more about this later in the Gemara in this parak, is that the liver has regenerative properties. If the liver is missing in part, so it can regenerate. But if the liver is missing in total, so then the animal is a trefa. Later in the parak, we're going to be more, the Gemara is going to detail more which part of the livers is necessary for it to remain. The liver, if you remember, is right below, right underneath the diaphragm. Right? Remember how we described the diaphragm just in the previous parak? We called the diaphragm the chaser hakaved, the courtyard of the kaved. So over here, it's right below the diaphragm. Hareya shenikva o shechasra. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shitanach of Lebesis Simponis. If I have a lung that either is perforated all the way through, or chaser, or it's missing a piece of the lung, under those circumstances, it is considered a trefa. Rabbi Shimon says that in order for a perforation to be rendered a trefa, Ashitanach of Lebesis Simponis has to go all the way into the main bronchial tube. Trachea, which goes into the lung, goes down into the lungs and then divides into two main bronchial tubes. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the perforation has to go through, pierce the outer lung, all the way to the main bronchial tube. Really interesting in that when the Mishnah presents the Reya, it presents it a little bit differently than all the other of the Trefos. If you look around the Mishnah, you'll notice, look at the beginning of the Mishnah once again, Nikuvas Haveshet, right? Psukas Hagargeris. First it mentions the defect and then it mentions the organ. When talking about the Reya, it says Ha-Reya, Shenikva, O-Shechasra. The lung, which was either perforated or missing. So it's interesting, the organ is mentioned before the perforation. Now, it could be, what I'm saying is just merely a suggestion, I didn't see this, but it could be that the reason why the lung is described differently in the Mishnah goes back to that Rashi that I quote in the beginning of Shir today. Meaning Rashi says that we don't have to check any of the organs, but Rashi says, but we do check the lungs, meaning the lungs are unique. So in other words, when you look here at the Mishnah, again, I'm saying this on my own, I didn't see anyone say this, but if you look at the Mishnah, it says, ha-reya shenikva, you know, the lung, meaning that the lung is something special and unique vis-a-vis the other organs of the animal. Could be that the Mishnah is kind of alluding to this idea of the lung being special and unique, in that it will require bedika. Next, nikva hakeva. So if the fourth stomach is punctured, next, nikva hamar, of the gallbladder, it has a perforation in it. Nikvu hadakin, if the intestines have a perforation. Hakeres hapnim shenikva o shenikva rov hachitzona. We're describing now the keres, that's the major stomach of the animal, and what we're looking at in terms of the major stomach of the animal is the Gemara describes as a keres hapnimi, the inner keres, versus the outer keres. Later we're going to be discussing more anatomically what distinction we're making between the inner and the outer keres. But when we're talking about the inner keres, so there, a nekev, a perforation, is going to be a trefa. O shenikra rov hachitzona, or if the majority of the outer keres is going to be open or exposed.
This was also mentioned first.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
You know why? Because you're right. Because I was about Schlachthaus.
Yeah.
And they do check the keres.
They check the keres? Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha gedola tefach v'haketana beruba. According to Rabbi Yehuda, again, there is a distinction to be made between the inner and the outer keres. But the difference is that when it comes to the gedola, the larger section of the keres, that is a tefach, as opposed to the ketana, the small section of the keres, that is, you need a majority of it to be opened up in order for it to be a trefa. Hamsasubasicosis. I mentioned earlier that we're ruminating animals. There are four stomachs of the ruminating animal. The first stomach is the keres. That is the largest of the stomachs. That's the one that covers the most ground of the animal. And the fourth one is the keva, the quote-unquote real stomach. In terms of the two central stomachs are the hemses and the basicosos. So this is stomachs numbers 3 and 2, right? Basicosos comes before the hemses. Basicosis, it's called the basicosis because if you open up this stomach, so what you're going to find is that there are basically, it looks like a honeycomb on the interior, like little cups, if you will, that are side by side. Again, what they do is they trap the cud, they further digest it, further process it. And so if I have now hemsesu besakosa shenikvu lachutz. Now these stomachs are contiguous one to the other, so a perforation of these stomachs would in fact render the animal trefa. However, if the perforation goes simply from one stomach into the other stomach, so that won't render the animal trefa. By these stomachs, in order for the animal to be considered a trefa, the perforation over here has to go externally. Meaning, just simply, when I say externally, not to the outside of the animal, just simply to the outside of the organ where it doesn't meet the other stomach.
Trefa means the hole has to be as big as a tefa?
Right, by the keras.
Such a big hole?
Again, if we understood better the anatomy and the functions of these organs, so then the answer would be yes. Nafla min agag, if it fell from the roof, this is an interesting trefa. Because up until now,
What the gentleman said, the nekef has to be, or the likra is a tefa.
The Gemara, at this point in time, I don't remember. The Gemara later on is going to discuss it in more detail, in much more detail. Nafla min agag. If it falls from the rooftop, an interesting of the trefas, because up until now what we've been describing are various either perforations or severance, right? In other words, most of what we've been discussing right now is nothing more, nothing greater than a perforation. That's not always true up until this point in time, but most of the time, right? The gargaris, the windpipe being an exception, and the keras being an exception, but for the most part, we've been talking about a nekev. So in other words, there has to be an actual hole or a tear. Over here, when we're talking about nafla min agag, so nafla min agag is blunt trauma. In other words, so the animal suffered a fall, and right now, is there anything wrong with the animal per se? Meaning when I say anything wrong with the animal, is anything got torn, anything, is there anything detectable, symptomatic, and nafla min agag, is it trefa in of itself? Meaning because it suffered blunt trauma, so therefore it is going to be a trefa. Now, Rashi over here points out, really interesting Rashi over here, nafla min agag. Rashi is the last of the short lines here on the right side. V'shachta miyah, trefa. It fell from the roof and you shechted immediately, the animal is a trefa. Even if we went through every organ, and even after an examination of every organ looks okay, but the nafila, it's the fall and the trauma which causes the animal to be trefa. Afa pisha ein shever nireba choshashin shenisraku v'nisparku evereha. So we are going to be concerned that what happens is that the limbs of the animal and the joints of the animal suffered such trauma, so therefore the animal is in fact a trefa. And then Rashi writes, and this is interesting, v'ein tam b'trefos, shalach l'moshe m'sinai hein. And Rashi says, and don't overanalyze all the trefas, right? There, you're looking for reasons and rationales behind it, meaning Rashi at this point in time is bothered. Right? In other words, so we shechted the animal suffered a fall, we shechted the animal, we checked all the various limbs of the animal, and everything seems to check out. It should be good, right? And meanwhile, no, the animal's a trefa. So Rashi says, here's where basically you have to give in, you have to yield and say to yourself, look, on one hand, I think I understand the anatomy, and I think I understand the biology, and we should be good, but Rashi says, when all said and done, the Yudches Trefas is Halach L'moshe M'Sinai. So there comes a point in time where, yes, we're going to try to understand all the various trefas, and we're going to try to understand them anatomically and scientifically, but when all said and done, it is Halach L'moshe M'Sinai. And Uve Gemara, Amar Shah Shasa Mesa'es, V'Shach Tukshir V'Afa Pishlo Amda. If it does survive the fall for 24 hours, so the Gemara later on will tell us that that animal is not a trefa.
We talk about trauma. And trauma comes when you kill, hunted animal, an animal that has the trauma in the sinew. And so when there's a fall, because I deal with that every day, it's in the body, it's in the tissue.
Right. I mean, that's the way Rashi described it, yeah. Nafla min agag falls from the rooftop, back to the Mishnah, the Shabarov Tzolaseha. If the ribs are broken, if the majority of the ribs are broken, 13 ribs that cover the animal from end to end, so of the 13 ribs, if the majority of them are broken, okay, so that's going to be 7, so then the animal is going to be a trefa. Drusas has the Av. Now, if it gets bitten by a wolf, Gemara makes an interesting assumption over here, and so we are going to be working with the assumption of the Gemara, and that is that when being attacked by a wolf or any type of predatory animal, so we are not discussing, we're not describing right now that because of the attack, one of its organs was in fact afflicted. Because, quite frankly, we've covered We've covered that already in the Mishnah. Over here, when we're describing the Jusas HaZe'ev, the attack of a predatory animal, so our assumption is, you could see it clearly in Rashi over here, Jusas HaZe'ev, Shehika B'tzi Parnav. So the wolf over here actually took a swing with its paw and its fingernail at this animal. Umato ba eres visurfa. And so now Rashi over here describes the venom. Now we generally assume that venom is coming from snakes and scorpions, but it could be some sort of, you read my mind. Right, it could be some sort of bacterial infection that's caused by the attack. But in any event, right, something bad is being transmitted through the attack. So batka, bidaka, avabagasa, lo alim zihira lemikle. Now over here, Rashi over here is foreshadowing the Mishnah we're about to read, and that is that it really depends on the size and strength of the animal. Meaning that for a smaller animal, so for that, a small attack, a small predator will render it nitraf. When it comes to a larger animal, because it's bigger and because it's stronger, so therefore you need a stronger predatory attack in order to render it a trefa. This is the point that the Mishnah is about to make. Drusas has the ev. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Drusas has the ev badaka, Udrusas ari begasa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in order for the attack of a smaller animal, sheep or goat, so there is the ev, just simply a wolf would render it a trefa. But when it comes to a large animal, right, a cow or a bull, so there you need an attack of something the size of a lion, that kind of predatory animal. Hanets be'ofadak, and Drusas hagas be'ofagas. Also, an attack on a bird would render it a trefa. Meaning, it's interesting, the Mishnah over here has not uttered a single word regarding what would render a trefa by a bird. And obviously, the anatomy of a bird is not the same of that of an animal. However, when it comes to these kind of predatory attacks, so we have in our Mishnah, what would render a trefa by a bird? And so again, seemingly, this is still the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, making a distinction between a larger bird and a smaller bird. So for the smaller bird, the attack of a nates would render it a trefa, and for a larger bird, the attack of a gas. Don't ask me, I don't know. What's an ace, what's a gas? Rashi gives us French words in order to describe them. Okay, good. Zaklal kolshein kamua chaya trefa. And then the Mishnah ends off with a general rule. And you know, every time we have the word zaklal, the general rule, we just saw this in yesterday's daf. Every single time we have the words, we have a general rule. So what the Mishnah means by that, it's coming to include something. Later on, we'll see what it's coming to include. And kol she'ein kamoa chaya, the general rule of our Mishnah is that this animal is not going to live. Rashi writes over here, shalakta maka she'ein behema lekuya dugmasa ru'i lachios. Under normal circumstances, if an animal suffered anything we just described in our Mishnah, and therefore it is now going to check out, it's going to die as a result of this particular wound, so therefore, such an animal is going to be a trefa. As I mentioned already a number of times before we got to this parak, but here we are now in the third parak, starting the third parak today. So there is a really interesting machlokus. It is hard. I'll just say it simply. It's hard to wrap our heads around exactly how to understand the machlokus, what the machlokus is. But there is a general machlokus of whether a trefa is chaya or trefa ain't a chaya. Meaning, what are your two possibilities? Your two possibilities is that. Either I should have really said this before we even started the parak. Okay. But anyway, let's go with trefa eina chaya, which, by the way, seems to be the opinion of our Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah says at the very end. Trefa eina chaya means that because the animal suffered any one of these injuries that we just described, internal injuries of the animal, so the animal, therefore, is terminal. The animal is not going to survive. Generally speaking, we're going to see this in the Gemara, Yud Beis Chodesh, meaning it's not going to last for a year. That is the position of Trefa Einachaya, meaning that part of a simen, a way of detecting that the animal is in fact a Trefa, is because it is in a terminal state because of this injury, and therefore it's not going to survive this injury. Now, if you subscribe to the rule Trefa Einachaya, can we work in the other direction? Meaning, if we see that the animal does survive, does that by definition mean that this isn't a trefa? Or if we see that the animal does not survive because of something else to the animal, are we going to now add a trefa? So those are really difficult questions. Those are not easy questions to answer. Typically, the answers are if you subscribe to trefa, ain't a chaya. No, we're not going to reverse engineer. And we're not going to add treifas, meaning still we have a mesorah that these are the yudches treifas. In fact, Rashi said, I showed you the Rashi earlier in the Mishnah, Rashi said, ein tam betreifas, sha'alach l'moshe misinai. Rashi's saying that in our Mishnah, the very same Mishnah that ends up saying that if it's not going to live, that's a treifa. So, in other words, even by treifa and achaya, it seems that we're not going to be reversing course in terms of determining whether that is or isn't a treifa, if in fact it has survived. And it does not seem that we're going to be adding on treifas just because the animal does not survive, you know, a new type of injury. The other position is treifa chaya. An animal can be a treifa and it could survive. And it could live for more than a year. In other words, so it is a condition that would render the animal a treifa, give it the status of a treifa. We obviously can't eat it now because it's a treifa, but in terms of its prognosis, it's not terminal. It'll live for at least a year, whatever. Okay, now how to explain that machlokus? It's really difficult. Meaning, it is one of the central debates that take place in this perek. We're going to see it in just a moment in the Gemara, and it's a difficult machlokus to explain. I just say it simply. It is difficult. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. We start with the Gemara. Remez l'treifa min ha-tor minayin. So, if you remember the beginning of Makos, we had a similar structure of Gemara, where the Gemara opens up with a question of, you know, where in the Torah is it alluded to the idea of treifa? And to which the Gemara immediate reaction, if you know Chumash, is allusion to treifa? What do you mean allusion to treifa? It's a beferish pasuk. Minayin? Remez l'treifa min ha-tor minayin. Minayin? What do you mean an allusion to treifa? Ubasa basada treifa lo sochelu. The Torah says number of times you're not allowed to eat a treifa. It's a law in the Torah. When the Torah is not alluding to treifa, so ela remes lo treifa shenu chayim in a Torah minayin. Ah, good, you're right. In other words, but what about the idea that a treifa is not going to live? Meaning the Gemara right now is assuming that our position is, and it's a safe assumption because the Mishnah just said it, that a treifa is eino chaya. Where do we see that in the Torah? Where is that alluded to in the Torah? Diktani sefer zeh klal kol shein kamo chaya treifa mechalal de treifa nechaya. Good. So it seems like our Mishnah is subscribing to that assumption that treifa is not going to live. And how do I know that? Milan dechsev zosa chaya sher tochelu chaya echol sheino chaya lo sechol. So the Gemara quotes in from Parsha Shmini where the Torah says this is a chaya you're going to eat. Now pshuto shel mikra, the simple pshat of the pasuk is, I'm about to list to you the animals that you're allowed to eat. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah calls the animal a chaya, it not only is a description of which animals we're allowed to eat and which not, it's also serving as an adjective. If the animal has life, so then we're allowed to eat it. But if the animal is now terminal, so then that's a treifa, we're not allowed to eat it. Chaya echol, sheino chaya lo sechol. Mechlal de treifa lo chaya. And now what we're doing is we're putting two things together. The idea that if it is terminal, so we're not allowed to eat it. A treifa we're not allowed to eat. So what the Gemara now is doing is just simply synthesizing those two points. So a treifa is terminal. So the which the Gemara says, Alman dam a treifa chaya minale. Now, if you subscribe to the idea that a treifa is in fact going to live, so now what are you going to, where's the source of that going to be? Meaning now the Gemara is just simply ping-ponging. The Gemara assumes that we know that it's a general machlokus whether treifa is chaya or ain't a chaya. Good, so we know it now. So now the Gemara says, if you subscribe to the idea that a treifa is chaya minale, so where do you get that from? Meaning we just showed what seemingly is a very good source and proof that a treifa is eino chaya. But what if you subscribe to the idea that a treifa is chaya? Nafkele mi zosa chaya sher tochelu. Zosa chaya echol, chaya cheres lo sechol. So what you do is you read the pasuk in the following manner. You know, this live animal you're allowed to eat, which gives the indication that there are other live animals or life animals that you're not allowed to eat. Meaning, and what are they? They're the treifas. But they could live, meaning they still have life. Mechlal de treifa chaya. Good. So what we could do now is we can make a diuk in the pasuk and go in either direction, that either treifa is an eino chaya or a treifa is a chaya. V'ida chay zos mayavid lei. Now if you're on the other side, that a treifa is an eino chaya, what do you do with the pasuk we just cited? Mi baile lecha detan debe Rebbe Shmuel. Detan debe Rebbe Shmuel. Zos achaya sher tochelu. If you subscribe to the idea of a chaya is eino, sorry, if you subscribe to the idea that a treifa is eino chaya, here's what you're going to do with the aforementioned pasuk. Zos achaya sher tochelam alami sher tafas akarish baruchu mikol min v'min v'harolala Moshe. Moshe had a PowerPoint presentation. Moshe was told orally, these are the animals you can eat, these are the animals that you cannot eat. It happens to be that with something like this, it's not enough to hear it orally, you need to see pictures. Without pictures, literally, you have no idea what we're talking about. I can only describe it so well, but ultimately, you need a picture. Moshe needed a picture. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "This—that's the Zos. So this, meaning you're pointing to something, you're showing him something, right? The, generally speaking, throughout Chumash, and you'll see this all the time through the Gemara, when you see the word Zeh or Zos, it means to say that there is something that we're actually seeing. There's some, there's something iconic. There's some picture. So over here, so the Zos means here Moshe, and he shows him. This you're allowed to eat. This kind of animal you're allowed to eat. This you're not allowed to eat." Vidach nami mi baile lechatan debe Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara says, okay, but you know, even if you subscribe to the opinion of a treifa that is going to live, what do you do with the brice of Rabbi Shmuel? So inachinami. So the Gemara says, you're right, meaning that pasuk is necessary for the drusha of Rabbi Shmuel. And so ela treifa chayim inale. Where do we learn out that a treifa is going to live? Meaning, where do we see it alluded to in the Torah? Nafkalei miidach tan debe Rabbi Shmuel. So we learn it out from another statement of debe Rabbi Shmuel, the tan debe Rabbi Shmuel. Bein achaya necheles, ubein achaya asher lo sochal. Elu shmona esrei trefer shenem lamoshe misinai. Good. The chaya that you eat and the chaya that you don't eat. Meaning, what's the chaya that you eat? Those are animals that are not trefers. What's the chaya that you don't eat? Those are the animals that are, in fact, trefers. How did Tana de Beir Shmuel just describe the treifa? A chaya. It is an animal with life. It's going to live. It's not terminal. So Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the, I'm sorry, that takes us to the brace of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel is clearly working with the position that a treifa is in fact chaya. So what we have right now are basically in the first amud of today's daf, two very basic positions regarding a treifa. Our Mishnah seems to be clearly on the side of a treifa ein achaya, that because the animal is a treifa, therefore it is in a terminal state and it's not going to live. Masha Enkein, Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that a treifa is going to be a chaya. Now, is that going to change anything? So I already raised the question earlier this morning, but again, I know it gets to one of the most basic issues in terms of how to understand, diagnose the treifas.
Go ahead. The one who says, what does he do with the second brice of Rabbi Shmuel?
He disagrees with it. He just simply doesn't. He doesn't agree. How does he darshan it? Yeah. So how does he darshan it?
Yeah,
okay. Good. It's a good question. I don't have an answer. We continue. We're on the bottom of the Amud on Membeis Amud Aleph. Vesu Leka. And the Gemara now opens up the Pandora's box. Because what we now have had in our Mishnah is a clear articulation of 18 treifas. And we just saw the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, where Rabbi Shmuel says, Yudches treifas. Which, by the way, I'm sure we all love this, meaning Yudches treifas, that's chai. Meaning, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah
right. So, but anyway, so the number's 18. And it seems to be a hard number. Now, I say that, but at the same time, however, let's also make a good observation. In the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah did articulate 18 treifas, the Mishnah did not give the cap. The Mishnah did not say the number 18. Only the Brice that we just learned together, Rabbi Shmuel, so that gave a hard number. That said 18. It sounds like there's a cap of 18. Now, it happens to be that we know that there are more than 18 treifas. Now, how do we know that? Upcoming Gemara. In other words, there's another 4 and there's another 7. Why broken up to 4 and 7? Brices versus Amorim. Meaning the Brices are introduced us to an additional 4, and the Amorim introduced us to another 7. Now, is that a problem? So from our Mishnah standpoint, the Gemara is going to make this point. I'm just saying it in advance. Is that a problem from our Mishnah standpoint? Not a problem at all. No, not a big deal. Because our Mishnah is just giving us a sampling. Meaning, now I know the Mishnah does in fact say Elu Trefus. These are the Trefus. So yes, it's true, the Mishnah does give us the impression that these are them and nothing else, but still, The Mishnah didn't give a number. The Mishnah didn't give us a hard cap. The Mishnah allows for room for other trefus, if in fact there are, and there are. So from our Mishnah standpoint, not the end of the world that there are additional trefus. Okay. For Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa, however, we have a problem. Because Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa read, we just read it together, Elu Shmona Asay Trefus Shen Emer LaMoshe Messina, there are 18. Now that's a hard cap. So you can't go above 18. So for Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to have a problem because we're going to introduce ourselves to the rest of today's daf to an additional 11 trefus. So how can there be 18 and another 11 and say that the number is 18? That's the accounting portion of today's daf. So Vesu Lekavaika Basgar, Vesher Shmaisa, so there's Basgar. Basgar is Rashi Tevis, it's an acronym, Beis Samach Gimel Reish. That's an additional 4 that we're going to learn through Brisos. And Shev Shmaisa, so Shev Shmaisa, an additional 7 that's coming to us via the Amorayim. A point that goes without saying, but I'll say it. The Brisos and the Amorayim are not introducing new trefas. They're just simply giving us a halach l'moshe Misinai as passed down in the tradition. Why they were not recorded in the Mishnayos? Great question. I don't have an answer. But in other words, obviously, all this is part and parcel of the Masorah. Bishlama, top of Membeis Amud Beis. Bishlama, Tani Ditana, Tana, Udishayer, Asya Bezaklal. Good. So our Mishnah left room for more because the Mishnah ends off with the words Zaklal, and it didn't say the number 18. Good. However, and so now here we go, introduce ourselves to an additional number of trefas. So here is, and you can follow in the basgar, meaning we're doing now the brises, this is the base. So let's say an animal whose knee was cut off min harkuva lamala. Now I mentioned the beginning of shir today. One of the notable differences between a human and a bovine animal is its back legs. The legs of an animal is 2 joints and 3 bones, 3 components of bones from the hip down, right? We just have a knee. We just have one flexing point. I guess the foot, but anyway, the ankle. Okay, fine. I'm with you. But we're talking about the arkuva. That's why it says when we say arkuva. So we're talking about the knee. We have to make sure we know we're talking about the lower joint or the upper joint. This is talking about the upper joint. So arkuva lamala trefa. So if the animal is cut from the arkuva and above, the animal is a trefa. So that is now another trefa. Again, the question's never on our Mishnah because our Mishnah is open to the idea that there are additional trefas. What if you are Tana Debe Rav Shmuel? So the Gemara now is going to try to, you know, duck, bob, weave, deflect. So the Gemara says, "Sevelikar Rabbi Shimon Melazar Damer Yecholihi Lichavos Lechayos." So the Gemara says, "Well, Ritan de Bevei Shmuel is of the opinion that what you can do if the animal is cut in the leg, and it's amputated from the knee and above, so you can cauterize the area, and the animal is going to survive." So the Gemara says, "Okay, that's great. I'm very happy the animal is going to survive. For Rabbi Shmuel, that doesn't matter. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that a trefa is chaya." The Gemara says, remember, we're trying to say pshat in the brace of Rabbi Shmuel, and Tan Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Trefa Chaya Sfirule. He's of the opinion that a Trefa will in fact survive. So whether it survives or does not survive has no bearing, according to Tan Debe Rabbi Shmuel, on whether it's a Trefa. So good, so it could live. It could also still be a Trefa. So the Gemara says that where Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, this animal isn't even a trefa, meaning it's just simply kshera. He fundamentally disagrees with this brisa, and he's of the opinion that an animal, even though amputated above the upper knee, is not even a trefa, it's kshera. Okay, so the first of the 4, so you could just simply say, you can say, that it's a machlokus, and Tanya Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the idea that it's not a trefa. Va'ika chisaron b'shed. I'm sorry, just wait. Va'ika chisaron b'shed. Dradit nan. What about if it's missing vertebrae? So the vertebrae that is protecting the spinal cord. So if we're missing vertebrae, the animal is a trefa. How do we know that? So the starting point is the Mishnah Olos. The Mishnah Olos is talking about Tumas Ameis. Kama chisaron b'shedra. How much of the Shedra of the vertebrae must be missing in order for the remains of the human not to give off tuma. Now we know that human remains gives off tumas oha. Now if it's flesh of the human remains, a kazayas. Excuse me. What if it's just skeletal structure of the human? So you need the shedra. you need the entire spinal column in order for it to give off tumas ohel. If, however, it is missing part of the spinal column, it's not going to give off tumas ohel. How much of the spinal column needs to be missing in order for it not to give off tumas ohel? Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Kama chisam b'sherja Beis Shammai omrim shtei chulyo, so Beis Hillel omrim chulya achas. So Beis Hillel now comes out to be a, now I'm going to say this very carefully, machmir or mekel. Okay, so in terms of tumah, so that means to say that if one vertebrae is missing, it no longer gives off tumah. Oh, so he's mekel when it comes to tumah, right? In other words, it's going to, the answer to the question is going to switch when we're talking about which topic we're talking about. In terms of tumah, he comes out to be a mekel. All I need is one vertebrae to come out, and the animal The vertebrae of the human is no longer going to be an avatuma in transmitting tumas ohel. Now, vi'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'chein l'treifa. The same achlokas that exists between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of giving off tuma is also going to be what is going to render an animal a treifa. Now, we're going to note this a couple of times, by the way. Are we going to take what we know to be vitality and lack thereof by a human and translate that over to an animal? So here is one very strong example where we are. Now that doesn't mean that we have to do that every single time, but here's a very good example where we just did. Now by an animal, so according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, same thing is true as well. Meaning that now if a vertebrae of an animal is missing, is the animal a treifa? So if you ask Beis Hillel, he says yes, one vertebrae. And if you ask Beis Shammai, no, you need two vertebrae to be removed from the animal in order for the animal to be a treifa. Now it comes out that Beis Hillel is a chumra. Okay? See the Gemara in Erevin, by the way, who makes the point very clear. Meaning here's a good example in Halacha where you must be consistent. Meaning if you're going to be following Beis Hillel, you have to go l'chumra u'l'kula, whichever way it goes. If you're following Beis Shammai, same thing. But you can't go by the kulas of Beis Hillel and the kulas of Beis Shammai, meaning take this one issue and then be inconsistent in terms of tumah versus treifa. Okay. Hemsus u'beisakosus t'kachashavtu l'betartik chashun b'chada apikhada v'ayochada. And so now the Gemara does its accounting. So good, so now we have just introduced a new treifa. But according to Tanna Bei Rav Shmuel, there's no room because we have 18. So what we're going to do is we're going to consolidate. We're going to take the treifa of Hemses and Beis HaKosos, that's stomachs 2 and 3, really 3 and 2, but whatever. And what we're going to do is we're going to mesh that into one treifa. And so therefore now we have 17. So now we can put in the one chulia of Beis Hillel. V'ha'ika geluda. So the Gemara says, what if the skin is peeled off the animal? So the animal now is lacking its epidermis. So the animal is a treifa according to this brisa, right? That's the gimel. So savala karamer demachshir. So the Gemara says, again, this is not universally accepted. Other Tanaim disagree. And Tanna Bei Rav Shmuel just simply goes with the opinion that a skinned, when I say skin, I don't mean that the entire hide is removed. Just simply the upper skin, the epidermis is removed. And he subscribes, he meaning Tanna Bei Rav Shmuel, subscribes to Rabbi Meir, that such an animal is kosher. So again, it doesn't offend our number 18. Va'ika charusa. So the Gemara says, what about charusa? A treifa, which we're going to be discussing in greater detail in tomorrow's daf. Charusa is the idea that the lungs have shriveled up for reasons which we're going to explain in tomorrow's daf. So Maraman Ketanila Ravios Ravihuda Apik Marava Ail Charusa. So the Gemara says, again, more accounting. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out the mara, the gallbladder, and we're going to insert charusa in its place, and that keeps us at the number 18. So far what we've done is we've gone over the four additional treifas, which seemingly now would get us from 18 to 22, but according to, from our Mishnah standpoint, not a big deal. Our Mishnah, Tana V'Shayer, our Mishnah is not going over every treifa. But according to Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, that's a problem, and the answer right now of the Gemara is that so far with the four, not the end of the world, because we were able to navigate a couple times, consolidate some of the treifas of our Mishnah, insert the additional ones we just learned in, or just simply say Tana Debei Rav Shmuel simply disagrees with some of the treifas that were introduced by these Tanaim. Chef Shmaisa said, we're going to be now continuing, we'll leave it off here. excuse me. Leave it off for tomorrow's daf, and that is the seven additional treifas introduced to us by the Amoraim. And if in fact they are treifas, which they are, So what is Tana de Beir Reshma going to do with another seven when he's already now with a hard cap of 18 and we have all 18 already covered? We'll continue tomorrow's daf.